Someday, someday, we will know how great thou art. We have a glimpse, and that's what we have, a glimpse right now of God's greatness. We see it in creation. We see it in providence. We see it in salvation. But someday, we are going to see how great thou art. And I believe we will spend eternity learning and seeing the greatness of God. One old prophet said it's unsearchable. He's unsearchable. Our God is great. We preach a great God. Now turn back to John chapter 12. I titled this The True Church. We could call it family worship. We could call it family worship. Or we could call it the sweet smell of worship. True worship has a sweet smell to it. Now, 6 days before the Passover, our Lord came to Bethany. Well, that town was blessed, wasn't it? To have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. To have His presence. And He came there to meet with Martha, Mary, Lazarus. And they made a supper for Him. But He came there to sup with His true family. This is His true family. Your believers are His true family. He said, who are my mother's brothers, sisters? It's those who do the will of God. They're my true family. That's what He's saying. And He came to Bethany because shortly He's going to have to go to Jerusalem because of the Passover. And He's the Passover. They don't realize that. They don't realize that the Passover is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the Scriptures. He came to put an end to the Passover, to the ceremonies. He came to put an end to all of that. Paul says it like this, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And our Passover lamb has come to Bethany, and in just a short while, he'll go to Jerusalem and be crucified, sacrificed. He came to offer Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of a multitude of sinners given to Him by the Father. He came to offer up Himself as a sacrifice for His family. The Passover was for Israel, wasn't it? Well, all who believe are the true Israel of God. We are the true Israel of God. It's what Scripture says. Paul said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Those Pharisees said, we be Abraham's seed. Well, that does not make you a child of God. It makes you a child of Abraham, but not a child of God. A child of God are those who are the promise. They are the ones who are the children of promise. That's what the Scripture says. They're the children of promise. They are counted for the seed. Now, in this narrative, we have our Lord. He's the reason for the gathering. He's the reason why we are gathered here this morning. This is not a social gathering. This is a gathering of God's family to worship the Lord. That's what it is. He's the object of their worship. He's the object of our worship. He's the reason we're gathered. He's the central figure in this chapter. He's the central figure of this book. Jesus Christ is the central figure of the universe. Isn't He? All things were made by Him. This is what the Word of God says. All things were made by Him and for Him. He's the central figure of everything that exists. He's the center of it. And bless God if we know it. Bless God if you know it and I know it. And we worship Him as such. And then we have also here, we have one that's not mentioned in this gospel, which is Simon the leper, over in Mark And over in Matthew 26, it is said that he's in the house of Simon the leper. He's in his house. And then we have Lazarus, and then we have Mary and Martha and Judas. And then we have the people who came to see Lazarus, not just the Lord. And we have the Pharisees. That they all make up this picture here going on. Now, verses 1 and 2, 6 days before the Passover, our Lord came to Bethany. And he went to this family. He gathered with this family. He always gathered with his family. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is here this morning? See, I have to ask myself that when I come here to preach. You know, I come out here to preach Sunday morning, Thursday night. And I pray this every time. Lord, be with us. Be with us. And the scripture is so true where it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. There's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We know that. And we have Simon the leper, and the Lord's in the midst of them. He's there. I believe the Spirit of our Lord is with us. He's with us in spirit, which is really, it's not any different than being with us even in the flesh. I mean, he's here, he's here. So our Lord comes to this family, and he has a supper with them, and he's in this house of Simon the leper. When the Lord saves a sinner, he not only opens his heart, he opens his house, he opens his pocketbook. He's generous. Everything I have belongs to Christ. What do you have that wasn't given to you? Whether you believe or not, God gave it to you. He's allowed you to have it. Because all things are His. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. Psalm 24. Everything belongs to Him. Nothing's mine. Nothing's mine. He even made my sins His. Isn't that something? When He was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, He even took my sins and made them His. It all belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him. Someone said this, our relationship to Christ is more than an acquaintanceship. It's a companionship. We are joined to Him. We are in union to Him. It's not just being friendly with one another. He's the vine. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. There's a real connection to us in Christ. He said, when two are joined together, in marriage, they become what? One. We become one. You know, in the new birth, there's a new creation. There's a new nature. You know, that God creates, you know, a new nature in me, a new man. Well, that new man is in Christ. Christ is in that new man, and they're one. That's how we are one with Him. Completely one. And listen, as our Lord received us in the covenant of grace, in time we receive Him. They received Him into the house. Simon the leper opened his house and received the Lord into his house. We receive the Lord. We do. As many as received Him. That is a difference. And I didn't look up the dictionary difference, but there's a difference in accepting and receiving. There's a difference. We receive Him. You see, you can be given some facts and you accept those facts. But to receive Him is to embrace Him. It's to embrace Christ. It's to love Christ. Simon, he asked Peter, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? He didn't ask me if he believed. He knew that. Do you love me? He went right to the heart. It's a relationship. You can believe something and not have a relationship with it. But you can't love something and there not be a real affection and relationship with that. You can't do it. And so our Lord received us in the covenant of grace, and we receive Him in time by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, we have Lazarus. He is a representative of all whom the Lord saves, being raised from the dead. You know, when the Lord saved us, all of you who believe, when the Lord saved us, there was a literal, a real raising from the dead spiritually. We raised from the dead. We were dead, the scripture says, in trespasses and sins. And He has raised us from the dead to have fellowship with Him and to be in union with Him. Listen to these scriptures in Ephesians 2:1. And you hath He quickened, given life to, made you alive, spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is why I don't ask sinners to do something for God, for Christ. They're dead. You don't ask a dead man in a casket to do something, do you? He's dead. But I tell you what I do. I ask the Lord to do something. I ask the Lord this morning, if it be His will, that He'd give somebody who does not believe the gospel life this morning. That they would live. That the Lord would give life to an unbeliever. Wouldn't that be something this morning if God called one from the dead this morning? Like He did Lazarus. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's a spiritual resurrection. That happens in the new birth, when you're born of God. And listen to Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins. You can't convince somebody who loves sins and drinks iniquity like water to come to Christ. That's the last thing they want. Darkness does not want light. Our Lord said that, lest your deeds should be reproved. You want somebody reproving you for your deeds? You don't want to be exposed, do you? You don't want to be exposed. That's why you won't come to. That's why sinners won't come to the light unless the Lord gives them light. Unless He makes them alive. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Even before you ask Him. You know that? You know, I was forgiven all my trespasses before I ever asked. I asked the Lord to forgive. I asked for forgiveness every day. But when the Lord put away my sins, I was forgiven. I was forgiven. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had her husband murdered. He had him killed on purpose. Nathan came to him and said, he gave him that story about the little lamb. And he said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. You're guilty. You're the one. But you know what else Nathan said? You're not going to die. The Lord hath put away your sin. When did he do that? And how did he do that? Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God did that back in eternity in that covenant of grace. He put away our sins. And then in time, Christ came and died on the cross, made to be sin for us, and put them away on Calvary. And then whenever there's a new birth and you come to God as a guilty sinner and you say, Lord, forgive me, your sins are put away. You experience the forgiveness of sin. You experience it. But brother, he's having forgiveness all trespasses. That's why God can come to me and have mercy on me, because he's satisfied. His justice is satisfied. There's no barrier between me and God. God removed the barrier. He did it. And then he said, and then we have here in verse 2 also, Martha. Martha. Martha served, it says. Martha served. Martha is always spoken of as serving, isn't she? I'm thankful for the Marthas that serve. I'm thankful for them. I know oftentimes she's spoken of in a negative way, but I mean, everybody that serves every now and then gets a little attitude, don't they? Every one of us. Every one of us every now and then get a little attitude in serving. We do. But I thank God for the Marthas. I thank God for them. What would we do without the Marthas? What would we do? Martha demonstrated her love to Christ by serving Him and His. That's how she demonstrated. You know, listen, in Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, in these three characters, We see a believer risen from the dead, serving the Lord, and worshiping Him. All three of those characters are in us. That's how we live, like that. Martha demonstrates her love to Christ by serving Him. Now listen, in Matthew 25, this is how we serve Him. And the king answered, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Remember that story in Matthew? It's in the Gospels. Lord, when did we ever see you in prison? When did we ever see you hungry? When did we ever see you naked? And he says, if you've done it to one, at least the least of one of these, you've done it to me. You've done it to me. And notice what really stands out here. You have Lazarus raised from the dead. That's a miracle, isn't it? You know that you who believe, you know you're a miracle. You're a walking miracle. I don't need to see any hocus pocus. I see a miracle every time I come here and preach the gospel. I see men and women who believe the gospel. That's a miracle that you believe the gospel. But Mary, listen here in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, a year's wages in that day, a year's wages, and anointed the feet of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus, and over in the other gospel, she anointed His head and His feet. But here, John takes notice of the most lowly act, the most humble act. She pours it on His feet. Then she takes that long hair of hers and pulls it around and wipes His feet. Wipes that oil off His feet. Cleans His feet. That's humility. That's thankfulness. She is so thankful that the Lord has forgiven her, that the Lord has saved her, that no service was too lowly for her. None. She wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled. This statement right here caught my attention more than any of it. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Whoa, she broke open that alabaster box. That odor just filled that whole house. If you come in the front door, you could smell it. If you came in the back door, you could smell it. If you're standing at the window, you could smell it. You could smell true worship. God does. It's a sweet smell to God. Mary is always spoken of being at the Master's feet, isn't she? Martha serving, we do that. Lazarus is raised from the dead. That happened. And he's seated with the Lord. And Mary is seated at His feet. That's what you're doing this morning if you're truly worshiping. If you and I are truly worshiping the Lord, we're sitting at His feet. And learning of Him this morning. We're not just learning about Him. Listen now. We are learning from Him. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He said it was a burden. It was a light. And learn of me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's the lesson. And He's the teacher. Mary was always in a humble attitude in worship. Now she takes a pound of very costly spikenard, anointed the Lord's feet, wiped them with the hair of her head, and she did it for this reason in her heart. And we have another reason also, because of His burial. Those who are forgiven much love much. Mary's devotion to Christ. Now listen. Came from a heart of generosity. It came from a heart of generosity. She held back nothing. How often have you seen, or even in yourself, you looked at what you're going to give, and you think, well, I can't, we can only afford to do this. We can only afford to give so much. She held back nothing. That was a year's worth of wages. And she broke it open and just poured it on. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. And her devotion and love and worship came out in her generosity. Then Mary's act, listen here, her act of worship was spontaneous. It wasn't forced. If you're forced to be here, if you're forced, worshiping is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Worship, true worship is spontaneous. You want to worship the Lord. You want to be here. You want to hear of Him, don't you? You want me to preach Christ. You want me to speak of Him. And then her act of worship was open. It wasn't secret. Everybody in that house knew what Mary did. They watched her pour all of that out on Him and then take her hair and wipe His feet. It was in the open. She wanted everyone to know, this is my Lord. This is my Lord. This is the love of my life. This is the one who has cleansed me from all my sins. And she had a lot of them, just as we do. We do too. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. True worship has a pleasant smell to it. Especially to God the Father. It fills the room with a sweet fragrance of grace. Well, nothing smells better than grace. Nothing. Someone said this, what the eye cannot see, the nose can smell. Yeah, I thought this was a good observation. The nose can smell the tiniest molecule that the eye cannot detect. God smells worship. The smell of a certain odor can take you back to a special time like nothing else can. Can it? You can smell something and it can take you back home, or it can take you to a certain place to a certain time. Just that smell, it triggers it. It triggers it. Boy, when you smell the gospel, when somebody's preaching the gospel, and you that sweet fragrance of grace, it takes you back to that covenant of grace made between the Father and the Son. It takes you back to Calvary when your sins are put away. It takes you back to the time you heard the gospel. Oh, what a smell. What a smell. But I'll tell you something else, what a smell can detect, a foul odor. You can't see. You know, if you have a gas leak in your house, can you see it? You can't see it. But you can smell it. And you can smell it when the gospel's not being preached. You can smell there's something not right. You can smell the sweet odor of grace when the gospel's preached. And when the gospel's not being preached, it's like, boy, that's a bad odor. There's something wrong with that one. Smells. And we can smell it in the next two verses. Then Judas Iscariot. There's got to be one in every place. He shows up everywhere. Satan will not let a true worship service go undisturbed. He's not going to let it go undisturbed. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Judas, here he is, partaking of this supper, there at that feast with the other disciples, but he is unsympathetic as can be. He's hard-hearted as can be. First of all, he gives a false sense of value. You know what he's saying? Mary, why did you just waste that on him? Man, can you hear that? Can you smell that? Why did you take that ointment that could have been sold for a year's worth of wages and given to the poor like he cared for the poor? He didn't give a flip for the poor. He didn't give a flip for the poor at all. And here's what we also see with him, a hypocritical attitude in caring for the poor. He came across as this philanthropist. Oh, we could take him. We could just, it's like he's going to make, the Lord knew his heart. And John says, no, that's not why he said that. He's the treasurer. He held the highest office right at that time of those disciples. He was a treasurer. And you know, this is interesting. The Lord knew that. The Lord knew that. The Lord made him treasurer. He brought that covetousness right out of him. That covetousness is the reason he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord knew that. All this is providential in bringing Christ to the cross. There's nothing less than a chance in any way, shape, or form. And then another thing about Judas here. Here is a heartless intrusion into true worship. It's a heartless intrusion. Why, he says, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said in verse 6, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and he bare what was put in it. You see, he couldn't say that. John said that about him. But Judas couldn't say that about himself. He's not going to expose himself. He's not going to say, you could have put that in a bag and I could have took, my cut out of it. That's what he would have done. That's what he was mad at. Here's a year's worth of wages. I could have took a cut out of that. Nobody would have known it. No person has a right to trouble another believer on account of his or her services. That's between you and the Lord. Her worship in that alabaster box was between her and the Lord. It's none of my business. That's none of Judas' business. And then, listen here. The Lord defends Mary. He comes to her defense. He said, let her alone. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? You see, this act of worship was against the day of his burying. Now, what she knew in that, how much she knew there, I don't know, but she did it against, he says she did it against the day of my burying. Let me say something here about funeral service. A funeral service, when we have a funeral service, it's to be a worship service. When we have the funeral service of believers, it's a worship service. This is the way I want us to have these from now on. If at all possible, to have it here and to have it as a regular service. And the congregation sing just like when the person was with us singing. It's a worship service. It's a worship service. I make someone mad because I wouldn't let a certain person stand and say something in the service. And I told this person, I said, no one's going to stand there, doesn't believe the gospel, and going to say something that I'm going to have to straighten up. I made them mad, but do you agree with me? They can't stand here and preach another gospel and say stuff off the wall. Now, I have in the past, I've asked other believers, to family members that believe the gospel to talk about their loved one. That's fine. You did with your grandmother or great-grandmother. That's good. But I'm not an unbeliever, not somebody that's going to just come off the wall with something. And he says, here, you leave her alone. This is a worship service. This is a worship service concerning his burial. And I'll tell you something else here. One of the ways to tell whether a person's confession is real or not is how they pick on the Lord's sheep. How they pick on his sheep. He's picking on Mary. Judas was a high-ranking person there, but he was the one that was lost, and he was picking on the Lord's sheep. The Lord's sheep love one another. We don't pick up one another. And we see here the Lord will vindicate his children. Mary's love and offering was accepted and recognized. You know that in the other Gospels, it says wherever the Gospel is preached, this is going to be spoken of her. So every time we preach through the Gospel, we come across Mary doing this. She's preached. I mean, this incident is preached many, many times in recognition also of her. Your worship does not go unnoticed by God. It doesn't go unnoticed. And there's something else about Mary sitting at His feet. She was a good listener. She was a good... You know, I've learned listening is not the easiest thing in the world. Listening is not easy. To really grab your attention and listen and pay attention. Our Lord said this, and I'm going to wind this down. For the poor you have, or always you have with you, but me you have not always. He's speaking here of His immediate presence because He's about to die and go back to the Father. This is what's going to happen. But listen, let's listen to this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Take advantage of His presence. Every time the gospel is preached, if at all possible, be there. Be where it's preached, here, somewhere else. Be where it's preached, if at all possible. Much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that He was there, verse 9, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. I heard this story. I believe Spurgeon told it. I don't remember the man's name, but he went and heard this man preach the gospel. And he went away, he went away thrilled. He was just, the man preached with such power. He said, I'm going to go back and hear him again. Then the second time he went back, it was dead. It was just empty. He didn't get it. And he was relaying this story to a friend. And he said, I don't know why that is. Why that happened. Why it was like that. He said, well, the first time you went to hear the gospel, the second time you went to hear Him. Big difference. Big difference. You come to hear me, you're going to hear me. If you come to hear Christ, you're going to hear Christ. And I'd much rather you hear Him. Much rather. But many came to see Lazarus, not the Lord. They didn't come to see Him. You see, natural man, he's so dead, he wants to be entertained, not saved. That's what they want. That's what so many of these so-called churches are doing. They're entertaining sinners on their way to hell. But also this, listen, miracles are a witness of the deity of Christ, but they don't produce faith. You can see a dead man raised from a casket here, and it will not produce faith. That's the work of God. That's the work of God. It comes by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word of God. It says many of them believed, but they was like over in John 12 where it said many believed in Him. They believed what they saw. They believed some facts, but they didn't believe on Him. They didn't trust Him. I believe everybody in this room. Everybody in this room believes the gospel story. You believe the gospel story. You believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You believe He died on the cross. You say you believe He died for sinners. You believe God chose a people and He died for you. You believe that. But there's some here that absolutely trust Him to save them. You trust Christ to save you and represent you before God and bring you to glory without spot or wrinkle. That's a difference. There's a difference in believing the story and believing God. And then the chief priest, and I'm going to close, the chief priest there in 10 and 11, they were angry. They were angry because of the notoriety of Christ that He had received from raising Lazarus. And they were so angry, they wanted to kill Lazarus. Isn't that? Think of that. I said, we're going to kill Lazarus because of all this attention he's getting because he raised Lazarus. He raised him from the dead. Does that not? This shows you how spiritually dead people are. And these were the religious people in town. These were the outstanding moral people, moral majority in town. They were the men that everybody looked to, the Pharisees. They were the instructors, the teachers, and they were mean as... They were mean. mean. They said, we're going to kill Lazarus. Because of him, he's getting so much attention and we're losing our following. Well, I hope I lose my following. I want you to follow Christ. I want to point you to Christ. I want you to go to Christ, run to Christ, look to Christ, believe on Christ, and pray for me. Then I'll preach the gospel, truly. They took counsel that they might put him to death, put Christ to death and Lazarus also. That here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to remove every trace of the Lord's ministry. If this world, even this country, if it could, it'd get rid of the gospel. If it could. Now, you can have all the other trash in this country, but they'd get rid of it. Of the sovereign Christ of God. God on the throne, they'd get rid of. God who wants to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, you know, and all that, they'd keep that. But thank God they can't get rid of it. They couldn't get rid of him until his hour had come. And this scene is played over, listen, week after week. The Lord's family gathers to worship Christ. He's the object of their worship, but not everyone there believes. And there'll always be somebody that'll cause controversy. Always be somebody that's going to pick on the Lord's people. And I see in Mary, Martha, and Lazarus every believer. You serve. You've been raised from the dead. You worship. All right.